Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, from the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Ben Stone, what is your wrestling name, sir?
I think we settled on Bearded Possum.
Yeah, the Bearded Possum. Bearded Possum. And also known as the Bad Quaker from the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. What's up?
Hey, I'm here in western Missouri I'm actually inside the town of Branson, Missouri, which is a really, really interesting place. I got a quick story for you about when we were coming into town.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple of things that a person coming into Branson for the first time will notice. One is the abundance of billboards. There's a lot of billboards advertising all the different shows that are going on and all the different theaters. And the other thing you'll notice as you're coming into Branson is the abundance of official welcome centers. There are, I don't know, probably dozens of official welcome centers. And I realize that, we're playing loose with the terminology here, but that's what they all claim to be. This is the one you have to stop at. This is the official welcome center. And a lot of them use the phrase, because the freeways are coming in, so a lot of them use the phrase, exit now, exit now, exit here, exit now. And one of them had this big flashing sign up that I thought, I should take a picture of that for Michael. It says, exit meow, and it's got this, and then it would flash this picture of this giant cat up on the billboard meowing, and then it would say exit meow. Meow.
I like it. And I'll just start by saying that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. I'm pretty much saying that every hour of every show now, so then I don't have to talk about politics. Just, we're doing a service to the world by saying that out there, and it lets people know how we feel and where we stand. And then we can move on to talk about fun things like the movies of John Milius. And I'll just begin with this quote. Lions, lions would please the Sultan. Now, you know what that's from?
That's from The Wind and the Lion. And I like that movie. Yeah, it's kind of a sleeper in the sense that very few people know about it nowadays. But it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah. And John Milius, my wife had the typical reaction to him. I said, I'm going to watch this documentary that just came out about John Milius. And she said, who? And then we watched it and she realized that this guy wrote all of her favorite movies. He wrote Red Dawn. He wrote Dirty Harry. He wrote The Lion, not The Lion, The Witch in the Wardrobe.
The Wind and the Lion.
Apocalypse Now. What else did he do?
Conan the Barbarian.
Barbarian. Yep. Yeah. Yep, and there's a character sort of based on him. It's sort of a hilaricized version of him in the movie Tropic Thunder. The screenwriter, who's played by Nick Nolte, is kind of based on him. And let's see, there's also a character that's kind of based on him. The one that that John Goodman plays in The Big Lebowski.
Really?
The character that's like pulling guns while bowling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And John Milius is, he's an anomaly in Hollywood. He's a gun nut and was considered very right wing, but he's probably more libertarian than anything because he doesn't like the right wing either. But, he liked to keep all his money and he liked guns, which is, in Hollywood makes people go, oh.
And that's a very libertarian way of thinking. Everybody that I know of, well, I shouldn't say it that way. Most of the people I know of that are that either lean toward libertarian or are a true libertarian really like money and guns.
Yeah, I would say that rappers, if they embrace the non-aggression principle, would be the perfect libertarians because they like guns and gold and doing their own thing and not being told what to do and probably don't like paying taxes, a lot of them.
That movie, The Wind and the Lion, it's got several really unique things about it. First off, they filmed part of it in the same places that they filmed one of my favorite movies, if not maybe my favorite movie.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Which is, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And I don't, part of the subject matter is Teddy Roosevelt, and I have a really negative opinion of Teddy Roosevelt. But there were aspects of Teddy Roosevelt that, actually were pretty interesting.
As an individual, he was kind of hip, but as a politician, he was a warmongering sociopath like all of them.
Yeah. He liked to box, and this is portrayed in that movie, too, that he liked to box his guests when they came to the White House. He would try to get his guests to box him. And he, from what I understand, he was a pretty good boxer. He could lay down pretty good.
Yeah. The Wind and the Lion is a pretty bizarre film. It was 1975. It's an adventure film written by John Milius, starring Sean Connery, Candace Bergman, Brian Keith, and John Huston. Somewhat based on real life incidents from 1904. But it's a movie that would not get made now because Sean Connery is the dashing hero who's basically playing
a
Muslim jihadist kidnapping Americans. That would not get made now with a hero like that.
And actually, the Berbers are used in the book The Art of Not Being Governed. The Berbers are used as an example of a people who hate government. They hate to have any kind of organized government over them. And that's kind of depicted in that movie.
Duplicitly depicted.
Say that again.
I was hoping you would so I could say my interpretation of duplicted. It's a great adventure film. John Milius writes adventure films. You know, he wrote Red Dawn. He wrote Conan the Barbarian, which actually Conan the Barbarian is, you know, not the greatest movie ever made, but it's interesting for a couple of reasons. One is it made Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger was a very well-known bodybuilder at the time, but he was not an actor. And Milius fought to get him, put in as the actor, because a lot of what they needed for Conan the Barbarian was the physicality and the accent. And, Milius said, well, if we don't use Schwarzenegger, we're going to have to build him.
You know, Arnold was in a movie prior to that. It may have been his only movie prior to that. I'm not sure. I didn't look it up, but it was called something like Samson in New York or something like that. Atlas in New York or something. I can't remember. But it was a real stinker. I mean, it really was a bad movie.
The other thing that movie is notable for, Conan the Barbarian, is it was kind of the first big Hollywood blockbuster action adventure set in different time, different place, purple capey kind of like combination of, kings and queens and desert fox type hero and purple capey stuff. You know, like without that movie, you don't have Game of Thrones, 40 years later.
Yeah, and even Conan the Barbarian was kind of an anarchical character. He really didn't like having a king over him. He essentially, there's one scene in there where he prays to his pagan god, and he essentially says, either you're going to help me or I'm going to be your enemy. I mean, that's not the normal way a person approaches a deity. But that's
help me or condemn you. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, man. John Milius, he's pretty stunning. I actually would really like to try to interview him on the show, but unfortunately he had a stroke a year ago. He's recovering from it, and his mind is sharp, but he's not really able to talk yet. So I don't think we'll be interviewing him. You know, it's kind of interesting. This documentary I saw called Milius is I highly recommend it. It just came out. It's on Netflix for streaming, so you can watch it right there. It's kind of interesting because it kind of has the hero's journey, that all documentaries have of, the rise from nothing, and Milius had input on this too, like before and after his stroke. So it's kind of a Milius, not directed, but Milius produced or helped documentary about Milius, and it kind of is the kind of movie he'd write about himself, I think. And it's a documentary about his whole life. Has interviews with Spielberg and just star after star and famous director after famous director. You know, he went to film school with those guys, with who were the two?
Spielberg
and who's the other one?
I don't know. It's not in my notes.
Oh, come on, you know. Oh, and he's from St. Louis. Interesting. Yeah, and he volunteered for the Marine Corps in Vietnam and wanted to go to Vietnam, but he couldn't because of asthma, and it was demoralizing to him. So while everyone else was trying to get out of the Vietnam War, he was trying to get in and was disappointed that he couldn't. He also wrote Jeremiah Johnson. You ever seen that movie? That's
a brutal
and wonderful movie. Oh, yeah. And there was an article about him and a couple other filmmakers when he was just starting out, where they called them the brutalist filmmakers.
That's interesting.
Coppola was the other one. Yeah, him and Coppola and Spielberg all went to USC film school together and actually made an agreement at one point to share percentages on their films. And it worked out better for him than for the other guys, because it was like, you know, the other guys' films were like Star Wars and later Raiders of the Lost Ark, and his film was Big Wednesday, which you haven't heard of. Yeah. So he got a few million dollars and they got nothing, but that was the deal that they made. Yeah, man.
The Wind and the Lion, the year that it came out, one of the reasons it didn't get the attention that it should have is because of Jaws. Jaws came out that same year.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of like, the year that Jaws came out, man, I remember that really well. It was like that was the only movie in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It was I was in school. All of the kids, that's all they talked about was Jaws, 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 Jaws.
But Milius wrote something in Jaws, interestingly enough. Yeah. And it's kind of one of my favorite scenes in Jaws, and it's one of the scariest, and it's just people talking, which is a thing.
In the boat where there's
At night in the boat, the Sloop John B. scene where they're comparing scars and talking about shark attacks.
Yeah,
yeah, that whole like long opinion. Scary scene was written by Milius. He did a lot of that where they had a script finished and it wasn't like popping the way it needed to, and they would call him in to just do that. He didn't really like doing that. He liked being involved from start to finish and, you know, directing if he could. Like Red Dawn, he wrote and directed, and Wind and the Lion. Well, there was a draft of Wind and the Lion before. But Sean Connery said he wouldn't do it because there weren't enough speeches in it for him. And so they got Milius because he was good at writing long speeches. We'll be back.
Like a doll's eye.
Like a doll's eye.
Yep, that's his.
Lions would please the Sultan.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pine Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com.
Meow, meow.
It's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. We're talking about John Milius, Zen anarchist, Hollywood film director and writer, wrote and directed, a couple little films like Red Dawn, Apocalypse Now, Conan the Barbarian, Dirty Harry, and many, many more of your favorite movies, if you're listening to this show, probably. And man, it's kind of cool. Hollywood gets a bad name, and there's a lot of bad things to rap about it, you know, things to say about it, but it also can produce stunning art that's also very popular and enjoyable, which is a rare combination, you know, for something to be great and popular. And, you know, as lefty and confused and misguided as it is politically, I mean, I feel like, you know, once a decade, they'll let in somebody who's totally contrary to their beliefs because he's so talented and he's such a maverick. And they kind of like to have the one guy to point at and say, yeah, he's this crazy, weird gun nut, right winger, libertarian, anarchist. And he writes great movies. You know, it's there's total gun grabbers in Hollywood, big names that love John Milius and, you know, have him over for dinner and write movies with him and give him jobs. And it's kind of neat because without Hollywood, someone like John Milius would probably be working as a drill press operator, you know, in a machine shop somewhere.
Yep.
And the show Entourage, you ever see Entourage, Ben?
I never have, huh?
It's a comedy. It's about a young movie star and his friends that he came up with in Brooklyn who are now his entourage and assistants in a mansion in Hollywood. You know, it's the classic sitcom. It's, you know, four or five weird roommates live together in a house, but it's not an apartment. And mayhem ensues. It's not an apartment, though. It's a mansion. They actually live in Brando's former house. In Laurel Canyon. Yes, to reference a previous episode. Yeah, but there's a scene where someone tries to break into their house and they decide to go buy guns, and they go to a gun store, and you know, they pick out the one they like, and they put down the credit card, and they're like, okay, you can fill this out, and then you can come back in 10 days and pick it up. They're like, but 10 days? We're in danger now. And the guy behind the gun store counter says, if you don't like it, call your government. So they end up getting big knives, and then you know, later that night, one of the entourage comes back with this leather satchel and dumps it out on the table, and it's got like six or seven handguns in it. And they're like, you know, he got somehow with no waiting period. And they're like, where'd you get these? How'd you get them so quick? And they're like, oh, he says, oh, I got them at John Milius's garage sale. Yeah.
Oh man.
So
I was expecting the line, don't ask me no questions, I won't tell you no lies.
Yeah. Yeah. So John Milius was a big fan of Teddy Roosevelt. You know, who's the bumbling other hero, or maybe even anti-hero in The Lion.
Yeah.
But he also did Milius also wrote and directed a four-hour biopic for HBO called Rough Riders, which is not the product. It's the name of the team that was assembled by Teddy Roosevelt. So talk about Teddy Roosevelt and why, while he may have been an interesting fellow and he liked to box people who came over to visit him, and that's kind of cool, and he was a hunter and a man's man. But why was he not someone people should idolize?
His own grandson, kind of as politely as possible, kind of said that he was nuts. And the reason that he gave for saying that he was crazy, and he actually meant he was crazy. The reason he gave for that is he said that he was such an egomaniac that he shouldn't go to funerals because he envied the dead guy being the center of attention, and he couldn't go to weddings because he would interrupt it and have to give a speech in the middle of the wedding. So, you know, he was basically saying, my grandfather is such a nut, he has to constantly be the center of attention. And part of that, you know, was the way that Teddy Roosevelt was raised. I've actually read quite a bit about him. And he was very ill as a youth, and his dad, he had really bad asthma when he was young. And his dad would get him out and walk, like in the middle of the night, walking around New York City, trying to get him exercise and trying to get enough cold air that he could, you know, breathe better and so forth. And at the age of like 3, 4, 5 years old, his father would have him smoke cigars in the belief that the cigar would help his asthma. It was, you know, that's the kind of thing you did in the 1800s.
Yeah.
He was a warmonger. He liked war.
Yeah. They actually used to sell atropine cigarettes that actually did temporarily help asthma in the early 1900s. We'll be back after we go sell some atropine cigarettes.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends.
For Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Michael Dean, talking to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and Ben has some shout-outs before we get back from John Milius and go into the Rough Riders. Riders. What shout-outs do you got for some events coming up that people would be interested in?
Not this weekend that we're in right now, but 1 week from this weekend, this coming weekend, August 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th, is the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Festival. It's being held by the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition. I went to this last year, and I had a hoot.
Yeah.
It's really it's in a better location this year than last year, but it's a very free-flowing. It doesn't have, you know, you're not going to see the big superstar speakers like at Porkfest or something like that. But it's a real up close personal, you know, eating at somebody's tent, and Lou is going to be there from the Freedom Fiends. Several other people are going to be there that regular listeners know about, and you can find out about it by going to MIPLC.org. That's Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition's website. MIPLC.org. At the same time, if you're too far away from Michigan or you can't make it or whatever, if you're near Minnesota, the Minnesota Agora Fest is happening the same weekend, 22nd through 24th. And you can find out about that by going to agorafest.com, agorafest.com. And it should be a lot of fun. It's literally being held at a castle. So, I mean, how can you go wrong? And we're looking forward to this February when Jeff Berwick, our friend from Anarchast, is going to be having the Anarchapulco.
Anarchapulco, yes.
Anarchapulco, yes. In February in Mexico.
And we're going to have Jeff Berwick on next month. Ben and I are interviewing him. He's an interesting cat. And, you know, you can dismiss anybody, but that we have on here, like, oh, those freaky no government people. But Jeff's kind of unique because he is very wealthy from investing, which a lot of people would like to know how to do. And we're going to be talking to him about investing. And he also is an expat. He's one of those people who, you know, listened when they said, if you don't love your country, get out. Which is not necessarily, you know, it's more about like protecting your assets. He lives in Acapulco. He's from Canada. He lives in Acapulco and loves it, man, and says he has more freedom there, which is, I'm curious how that works, because I think of Mexico as a place where life is cheap and everyone's corrupt. But maybe everyone being corrupt makes it easier to be free. I don't know.
I get the impression that the Mexican government is just so discombobulated that they don't really know what's going on. They're taking bribes from every direction, and they just really don't care about the what the individual is doing. I just get that impression. I can't necessarily prove it.
Yeah. And in the second part of this show, the second hour of this show is going to be, the topic is going to be society, you're doing it wrong. And that probably doesn't include most of our listeners. Most of our listeners are probably doing it right. But we're going to talk about what is wrong with people. You know, this is kind of interesting. I got something in the mail yesterday from a politician, and it says, I'm not going to say who, but it's a local, it's a lady running for state senate. And it says, my research indicates that you are not a registered voter. However, if there was ever a time when your vote matters, it's now. And in Wyoming, you can register to vote anytime, including on election day. So basically, the government is an abusive ex-lover that I've kicked out of my life, and it wants me back. Come on, oh, baby. Honey. I'll be good to you this time.
It won't be like last time, I promise. I was saying that about, you know, the relationship between conservatives and the Republican Party back like in 2007 and 2008 in that time frame.
Yeah.
Because the Republicans, the Republican Party had stomped on so many people for so long that, you know, the conservatives were just beat down because the Republicans were doing the exact opposite of what conservatives say they want. And then they come back at the election time and they're like, oh, come on, really? We are for small government. No, really. Oh, you know, baby, I love you. You know, I didn't hit you that hard last time. And, yeah. And then pretty soon it's like, yeah, but you know, you needed that, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, you really wanted me to smack you, didn't you, baby?
That's how the government acts towards us.
Yep. Yeah, that is exactly how they are. And the best thing to do is abandon them in your mind.
Yep, which we're going to talk more about. So, speaking of not abandoning them in your mind, Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy.
Talked about small government individual responsibility, but didn't always walk his talk. So go ahead, Ben.
No, he was one of the founders as far as like politics goes of the progressive movement. He was a really nasty monster, but he was a very unique individual. He I was talking before the break that he had asthma really bad as a young man, and so his dad encouraged him into physical fitness as a way to combat this asthma.
I'll bet that's one of the reasons Milius liked him. Because Milius had really bad asthma, and he couldn't get into the Vietnam War. He wanted to be a Marine and fight in the Vietnam War, and he signed up, but his asthma was too bad for him to do anything.
That could have been part of the connection, because Teddy Roosevelt, when he was young, it was very serious. And that was one of the reasons he went out west, was to try to get, you know, better air. The belief was better air. And so he went out as an adventurer, as a young man, and I'm sure, considering how wealthy he was, it wasn't exactly the rustic, you know, Jim Bridger type, you know, Kit Carson type adventure. It was probably more, with his money and his family's money, I'm sure it was comfortable. But he did get out west. He got to see things that most people in the East weren't seeing at the time. And it did give him, a different view on things that a lot of the politicians in the East didn't have. I don't know that
He killed a bear in Yellowstone in Wyoming, and it's stuffed, and it's in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, the actual bear that he killed. So it gave him an outlook that, you know, I think a lot of libertarian-minded people hear some of his speeches or read some of the things that he said, and they can easily be taken by it. But he was deeply a monster in the sense that he loved war. Now, unlike most Republicans, he walked the walk that he talked. He didn't just say, oh, we need to go and fight over here or there. He actually enjoyed putting together a troop of people that he called the Rough Riders and going and looking for a fight to get into. And, you know, they went to Cuba. He paid the whole thing out of his pocket for a troop of guys to be hired. He supplied them with guns and ammo and horses, and he paid to get them all transported to Cuba to fight in the Cuban Revolution against Spain.
Rough Riders.
And they were, for somebody says, well, you know, how would people defend themselves without a government to pay for, to pay for the military? Well, that's an example right there of a rich guy paying for the military that he created. But then again, and we're going to go into this in the next hour when we talk about society, there's a lot of things like government paid for military that are not necessarily as traditional as people think nowadays, because so often we think that things have always been like they are now. But
the Constitution part of the Constitution sets up preventing a standing army.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been, you know, they figured a workaround. Basically, the provision in the Constitution is that it can only be authorized financially by the government for 1 year. So what they do now is just every year they reauthorize it, which was not the intent of the Constitution. And furthermore, that every year they reauthorize that is a dumping ground for other really, really bad bills and laws and amendments to go into that. They will tack on riders to that that nobody would want to vote for, and people have to vote for them because, you know, you have to take the bill all or not at all.
Yeah, otherwise the terrorists win.
Otherwise the terrorists win. Yeah, because think about this. Like, the original intent of America, of the setting up of America, was to never have a standing army and only raise an army temporarily out of a, you know, civilian rifleman population to go, you know, deal with an issue and then go home. Yeah, that was
all
that
in
was
defense.
The idea. Yeah, that was the idea. It was in defense only. None of this imperialism, none of this standing armies in America and, you know, in 110 countries in the world. And, you know, the politicians just liked the idea of a military-industrial complex. They get kickbacks from it. People are easy to scare into, you know, oh my God, we're going to die if the government doesn't protect us. Please protect me, Daddy. To where, you know, they vote on this thing. This is the thing that they passed, the NDAA, the thing where they can now detain anyone. They can arrest you without charges now. If they don't like you, they can arrest you. Hasn't really been tried yet that I know of. But they also sneak in a lot of the authorization of the Patriot Act renewal and of the spying on Americans and the drone programs for, you know, spying on Americans and ruling the world with flying robots that indiscriminately and illegally kill brown people without a trial and then kill their children. You know, they killed an American citizen who was possibly a bad guy over the Middle East and then killed his 17-year-old son or 15-year-old son for just being that guy's son. Like, that guy's son didn't have any of the politics of the dad. The U.S. murdered his son. Obama murdered him. And this is a kid that grew up in Denver, Colorado, you know, going to American high school and playing video games and being a normal kid.
And they didn't kill him as an accident of killing his father. The killing was done like 2 weeks later in a different location.
Yeah. It was kind of, that's kind of Old Testament, you know, like, well, we must kill the son or he may grow up to avenge his father, you know.
And there is actually some logic. I mean, it's not good. I'm not saying that it was good that they killed that kid, but there's some logic to that in the sense that, you know, for every drone strike that the U.S. makes and for every innocent person that gets killed in those drone strikes, you're creating a whole family of people that hate the U.S.
Yeah. I was going to say Teddy Roosevelt would have loved drones, but he probably wouldn't have. I think he really liked the, like, you know, shoot him, you know, the skill of shooting your enemy, looking in the eye.
Unless he could ride the drone.
Yeehaw! All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget?
Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. We're kind of like coming up to the end of the first hour here on August 17th, 2014. In the second hour, we're going to talk about society, what they're doing wrong. And it's a very basic thing. There's this one thing that people are just doing wrong all the time, and we know how to do it right, or we, at least we know that it's wrong. And that's going to be the whole second hour. But then we're going to finish up here with Teddy Roosevelt. A lot of conservatives love him. My dad loves him. My dad got the NRA sent my dad's an NRA member, and they sent him a Teddy Roosevelt Rough Rider knife. And my dad just went on and on and on about this, you know, probably made in China, a little piece of metal that the NRA sent him because it said Rough Riders on the side of it. And the thing is, Teddy Roosevelt, while, you know, he liked the outdoors and he liked shooting bears and he liked boxing people that came to the White House to visit him, he was a progressive, and in many ways he was one of the first progressives.
Yeah, he really was.
Tell me about that, Ben.
Well, he was a real manly man, and that appeals to a lot of conservatives and a lot of Republicans. They appreciate the femininity of the female, and they like women to be very feminine, but they like men to be very masculine. And so it's really easy to like Teddy Roosevelt in that sense, because he was a man's man. He was just, even without gloves, he was just as likely to pop you in the nose as he was to put up with you. But and he even got shot one time. He was giving a speech, and an assassin shot him in the chest.
A would-be assassin.
And he like checked it, saw that it was dribbling blood and not squirting blood, and he didn't have foam in his mouth or coming from the wound. And so he's like, okay, well, either I'm going to live or I'm going to die, but I'm going to give this speech anyway. And he went on for like an hour and gave the speech with a bullet in his chest. Now, I appreciate that. I know what it feels like to have a bullet in the chest.
You've been shot.
And I've been shot in the chest, and I know how bad it hurts.
You didn't feel like giving a speech?
No, I literally felt like sitting on the floor crying. But yeah, so he was a real manly man and a tough guy. But he was a progressive. He wanted he was for eugenics, a horrible thing where the undesirable, to him undesirable, aspects of society would either be forcibly sterilized or not allowed to procreate or whatever. And he was one of the original people to start pushing government medicine. He used the Bismarck's example, and he wanted government-run medicine for everybody. That was one of the things that he wanted. So if you don't like Barack Obama and his government medicine, why would you like Teddy Roosevelt, who tried to do this 100 years ago? And then also,
leeches for all.
Yeah, exactly. He was one of the early people that pushed government schools and the what was referred to as the Prussian model of schools,
the model that doesn't work, that still exists today, where you show up at the same place at the same time and sit in little rows and politely memorize facts without learning any
real
logic, ability, or rationale. And that method was invented by the Prussians to create compliant soldiers.
Yeah.
And, the thing is, like, people who try to fix schools and get more money for schools, all they do now is add electronic equipment, but they don't change the same basic outline. Like, oh yeah, now they'll buy this $5,000 touchscreen from Apple to use instead of the Blackboard, but they're still using the Prussian model. And yeah, everyone has an iPad now that's paid for by the taxpayer, but they're still using the Prussian model.
Yeah, and it should be noted, too, that this is new. It's only 100 years in the United States. It's only about 100 years old. Prior to that, you know, the Little House on the Prairie type education was not the Prussian model. It was individualized education that really worked well.
Well, my dad went to a one-room schoolhouse. My dad's 93, and he went to a one-room schoolhouse that kind of was the Prussian model, but it had an advantage, which was you could immediately go to the next grade of learning if you could master your grade. So he graduated high school at 15.
Yeah, that's similar.
Because they didn't have the need of you have to go, you know, at everyone's pace through everything.
Yeah.
All right.
Much
better. We'll be back in hour two to tell you what's wrong. Society, you're doing it wrong. And Ben and I know how to do it right.
We have the secret.
We do. People laugh at us, but we have it right. Society, you're doing it wrong.
Stay tuned for the answer.
Worms. Nice cliffhanger, Ben.
Worms.
I have not been contacted by the government.
I've not been contacted by the government. Worms.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Wild Mountain West, where Teddy Roosevelt liked to shoot beasts in the occupied states of America. And if you're just joining us, this episode is called John Milius Rocks, but Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive, because he was a progressive. He was a manly progressive, but he liked to do a lot of things, like he tried to get free health care, government-controlled health care, leeches for all, and he also thought everyone should go to public government school. What else did he do, Ben?
Hey, before I answer that, can I ask you a cat question, a quick one?
Sure. You're on Cat Chat. What's your, go ahead, caller.
Where it's all cats all the time. You have, what, three cats?
Yeah.
So cats make this weird, not all cats, but some cats make this weird sound where it's almost like a growl, and sometimes they do it when they're angry or when there's an opposing cat of some kind, like in the backyard or whatever.
Yeah.
But some cats just sit around and just kind of like, like they're just mad about something. Do any of your cats do that?
Don't you know people like that? I mean, come on. Yeah.
I do know people like that.
Yeah, we have two young cats. Well, they're not that young. They're like eight. We call them the Squittens. They're brothers, and they're still really energetic. And then we have Charlie is a 16-year-old, very overweight cat. I've had her since she was three, and she is pretty cranky, and she doesn't like other cats very much. And whenever they come near her, she will go, "Arr!" I mean, it sounds like a dog or a lion or something. I mean, it's kind of scary. And Yeah, she also kind of snores. We call it chuffling. Chuffling is what tigers do, or is it lions? Big cats chuffle. It's sort of a weird kind of purr thing that's a little different. But Charlie makes some weird noises, man, but not quite what you're describing.
Hmm. We lost our cat a couple of years ago, unfortunately, but her name was Baggy.
Yeah.
And she would do that. She would just sit around looking at something and just kind of almost like a growl, but it was just like deep down inside her. She was like, I don't like anyone or anything, and I'm just disgusted with all of you people.
Yeah. Well, cats are weird, man.
Yeah, she was an odd cat.
All right. So,
yeah, so
the premise
Teddy.
Of the, okay, Teddy, go ahead with Teddy. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to just poke another, poke at Teddy whenever possible.
Yeah,
Teddy,
go ahead.
He was a manly man, and a lot of conservatives really like him. But I really don't think most conservatives understand that today he would have been regarded as a hardcore liberal. The things that he believed, the role that he believed government should have in life. And that's kind of what we were going to talk about anyway, when we were going to talk about how society, you're doing it wrong, is this idea that whatever the question is, more government is the answer. And,
yeah,
and
let
that's
me,
just a really, go ahead.
Let me read my thesis on this. I spent several seconds writing this. So
it's
basically,
a manifesto, huh?
Basically, listeners, this is to the listeners. We're actually addressing listeners instead of just doing what we usually do, which is just chat amongst ourselves and let the listeners listen. So if you're used to normal talk radio where they're generally complaining about Obama and what he's doing wrong, what the progressives, what the the liberals, the Democrats, what they're doing wrong, and everything they do, almost everything they do is wrong. And then most talk radio is talking about we need small government. And the Freedom Fiends, the show you're listening to, we are so small government that we make Ronald Reagan look like FDR. We're so small government that we make Ron Paul look like FDR. We want government so small that it drowns itself in the bathtub because no one likes it. And it's pretty bizarre when you talk to people who claim to be small government and say to them, I don't think there should be any government. They think you're horrible. They say, oh, no, we need some government. And I'm like, well, wait, isn't your whole point that government is bad? And, you know, that's, yeah, like everything the federal government does is bad. Everything government does is bad. And our whole take is, why do we need government? And that sounds shocking to even small government people. And it sounds insane to big government people. But here's the thing. We believe here on the Freedom Fiends that society, the majority of society, is doing it wrong by believing that any government is the best way or the only way to organize things. The simple truth is that we're right and the other idea is wrong. And if that sounds bizarre to you, I look at it the way someone would look at if we were in 1860, if we were trying to describe the internet to a telegraph operator. I mean, they could kind of wrap their head around it a little bit. It's like wires that connect people, but the internet would be mind-blowing, even to someone who, you know, was a telegraph engineer, like who understood the science of it, the basic science of it, which is pretty basic. It would sound that mind-blowing, but we would like to take this hour to talk some about, you know, not even necessarily how things would work without government, because I can explain that easily. You know, I mean, people say, you know, I mean, you could pick anything, like let's pick mail delivery. Well, Lysander Spooner started a mail delivery service in the late 1800s that did a better job than the U.S. Postal Service for less money. And the U.S. Postal Service responded by getting Congress to outlaw him doing that. And that's kind of the basic problem with government, is it wants a monopoly on things that it doesn't do well. And it wants to force people to participate in that monopoly. You know, when people say, if you don't love America, get out. The thing is, you can get out of America, but you're going to go to another country that has a government and has these same problems. Because society around the world, most of it has brainwashed itself to believe that you need government to organize things. and that without government, we'd all be living in ditches, hitting each other over the head with rocks and pushing berries up our nose. And that's simply not true. Anything the government could do, the private market could do better, and there would be market mechanisms in place and people able to do self-defense and band together to do self-defense to prevent the things that would be harmful that critics say. You know, oh, without the government, corporations would control everything. Well, corporations are a government creation. Without the government, there are not corporations. There can be large businesses, but they wouldn't have the, you know, the CEOs could still be punished, put it that way, if they dump battery acid in a river, which they cannot be punished now, or not very, very, not very much. So the thing that I want to argue isn't, not even argue, the thing that I want to state and celebrate isn't so much, you know, how would we do these things? Because there are people who have done scholarly presentations that we could surmise, we could summarize really quickly. But, you know, the roads would work without the government. Even military protection would work without the government. Everything would work better without the government. Do you agree, Ben?
Absolutely. And this is not something radical and new. People have been talking about this and working on these theories for a long time, and we've pretty much almost got it perfected as far as a practical outworking of a theory. But this is stuff that people like Henry David Thoreau was talking about. You mentioned Lysander Spooner, Herbert Spencer.
I would say that government is radical and violent, and it's not the natural state of humanity, and is fairly new.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially in the organizational, you know, the extreme organizational and coercive way it's run now.
In the 1800s in America, really our point of view was the predominant one that drove people to move away from governments in the East and move out West where governments hadn't formed yet. That was one of the driving forces. That's Daniel Boone actually said that. He moved to Kentucky from Virginia because he couldn't get along with the government in Virginia. And when Kentucky got populated to the point of where government started squeezing him again, he moved to Missouri where there was no government.
And then one point he told Congress, "You all can go to hell. I'm going to Texas."
Oh, that was Davy Crockett. But okay. Same thing. Yeah, same principle.
Who were you talking about?
Daniel Boone.
Okay.
Yeah, but same principle. I mean, that was what drove people out West, was the desire to be free of all the restrictions that the nannies put upon us. And, you know, the more you escape from the nannies and the more that the nannies have less influence over your life, the freer you are to do things, whether that's in business or whether that's, you know, invention or whatever, or just to live your life. And that's kind of the libertarian principle.
And see, where I fall short, and people will criticize me on this, but Ben doesn't necessarily fall short on this, is I don't necessarily know how to get to point A to point B. I know violence is not the answer, and there's reasons for that. You know, I'm not a pacifist. I own guns. I carry a gun. I believe in self-defense. But I believe that the idea of a violent armed revolution is, first of all, it's very grandpa's answer. You know, it's very Teddy Roosevelt's answer. And, you know, Teddy Roosevelt, too, was one of those guys who loved the West, but also was largely responsible for bringing nannyism to a stateless society in the West.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fiends are not about violence. We can't emphasize that enough. I said this at Porkfest. I interrupted Bill Buport to say this. We don't encourage violence. We don't think you should shoot a cop or fight cops or anything like that. Instead, you know, buy a cop a dozen donuts.
Why is that?
Well, the FBI did a study not too long ago, just this year, that showed that 80% of cops are seriously overweight, and they're 25 times more likely to die from weight-related cardiovascular disease than the actions of any criminal. And so we should help them. We should help them by giving them as many donuts as they'll eat.
You know, it crossed my mind that maybe John Milius was given a stroke by the government.
It's possible they can do it.
You know, if he wrote Red Dawn, which really encouraged people, and he was working on some other stuff, you know, he might have inspired some people to anti-government ideology.
They admit to having a heart attack gun.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squigelps from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. From freedomfiends.com. This is Michael Dean. I'm talking to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. And our basic premise of this show, other than the fact that John Milius rocks, but Teddy Roosevelt was a scoundrel and a progressive, and I'm making a really cool cool meme to that effect right now. But the basic premise here is society is doing it wrong. Most people in the modern world believe that government is the only way you can possibly organize society. We believe it is the wrong way to organize society, and we know that to most people, that sounds crazy. Even to small government people, the idea of less than small government sounds crazy. But we believe that we're onto something, we know what the future is, and it's kind of like we're somebody in the 1850s talking to a telegraph operator and trying to explain the internet to him. So go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, eventually, you know, and this is not just the wild thoughts of a couple crazy guys on the radio. This is based on hundreds of years of really smart people researching this, looking at the economics of it, looking at the practical outworking, and mostly looking at the principles involved. And if there's anything that you can separate out and say, this is really what the Freedom Fiends are about, it's about this principle that it's always wrong to initiate aggression against someone. If, you know, self-defense is fine. You can defend yourself. You can defend your own property. We fully believe in that. But we believe in the principle that it's never right to initiate aggression upon someone. And that's called the non-aggression principle or the zero aggression principle. Yeah. And that's what government violates that in every way. If government was such a great thing, then why does it have to be forced upon people? Nobody comes to you and forces upon you a cherry pie.
The government, a product so great, you have to be forced into doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If the government is really such a good idea, why don't people do it voluntarily?
Yeah.
Because we would be perfectly comfortable with a voluntary government. I mean, that's what families basically are, you know?
When yeah. You go to, I mean, in the sense ahead. Of like, here's how I think one of the things of how I think government would work. You know, how the things done by government would work in the absence of government existing is basically kind of like the way you pick your cell phone plans.
Yeah.
And people who say, well, I could see how it would work, but it'd be too complicated. You know, you'd have to go find a garbage man, and you'd have to go find a security agency, and you'd have to go find a police agency, and But, you know, there would be people who would bundle those plans, too. And it'd be – it would actually cost less than what we're paying. There's been some math done by L. Neil Smith that basically without the government, everybody would be 8 times richer. You know, for one thing – I think it'd be higher than that because for one thing, money is 95 – U.S. money is 95% you know, deflated. You know, right. Money buys 5% of what it did 100 years ago. And that's basically how the government hides its stealing, you know, on top of taxes, on top of adding taxes upon taxes and then saying we don't have enough money, we have to add more taxes and being terribly in debt at the same time. You know, if the United States government, if any government were a corporation, it would have filed for bankruptcy and dissolved 100 years ago and, you know, 100 times since. And nobody would ever do business with that company. You know,
right.
It's a company that can't pay its bills, that's constantly deep, deep, deep in debt and getting deeper and kills people just for the heck of it when it feels like it. That's not a good company.
Right. You know, it's a funny thing, too. When you talk to even small government, like conservatives or small government libertarians, and you begin bringing up these topics, they say, well, you know, part of the myth of government, especially in the U.S., is that, well, if you don't like what's going on, you can always change it. But see, that's part of the game. That's part of the trick. That's part of the like if you're watching a magician, there's always a trick that he's doing. He's sleight of hand, or you know, the box has an extra wall in it that you can't see, or there's a compartment in the under the table or whatever. There's always a trick. And that's one of the tricks of government, is this myth that you can get involved and change it. But the truth is, it doesn't matter who the big man is or who the great man is or who that wonderful guy is that you think is going to fix it. The system itself is flawed because it's based on a bad principle. It's based on the principle that by doing enough bad, some good will take place. And that's a flawed way of thinking.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back.
Society, you're doing it wrong. We know how to do it right on the Freedom Fiends, and we'll be back with more on that.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. But you know, George Washington was worse. George Washington personally murdered war vets from the Revolutionary War for not paying a tax that was higher than the tax they'd fought over. All presidents are scoundrels. Teddy Roosevelt liked to box and liked to hunt, but he also was a progressive. He was the first progressive president. He tried to put in government health care, and he mandated government schools and brought nanny laws to the West where there had been none, where people were living peacefully for the most part. And the Freedom Fiends, Ben and I, we do spend a lot of time talking about things like cool movies and stuff where we're not talking about politics or what's wrong with the world. And that's one of the things I really like about doing this show is I get really tired of just listening to libertarians rant about what's wrong with the government. You know, I used to go to this AA meeting near my house in San Francisco. I'm not an agnostic or an atheist, but There was a meeting near my house called the Atheist Agnostic Anarchist Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was the 5 A's, and I used to go because it was near my house. And the thing, I stopped going because these atheists talked about God, complained about God. God was the topic more than at the, you know, meetings where they opened with a prayer. And that's a problem I have with libertarians, is that we tend to spend more time talking about the government than people who love the government, which kind of, you know, makes sense. But I kind of feel like it's a trap to fall into and something to try to avoid at times, where we spend an hour talking about the films of John Milius, which is, you know, I kind of want to be the show that would exist after the government's gone, the in Libertarian Paradise. But in this segment, we're talking about the fact that most of society is wrong. Most of society believes you need government to organize things, and without it, people wouldn't have services or protection. And it's just blind, because most of what governments do is leading up to, is some degree on the continuum towards putting you in a cage or shooting you for doing no wrong, or at least stealing all your money, as much of it as they can. So, Ben, take it from there. I'm throwing it to you. Grab it, Ben. Run with it.
Yeah. What we're talking about is having a life and having a belief system that's based on principles, not based on, you know, just following along and doing what you're told. So, for example, you know, I come from a very mechanical way of thinking, a very very engineering past and an engineering experiences in my career. And what I would compare it to is a lesson learned in a mechanical situation, in an engineering situation. So if you if you're holding a screwdriver and you have a screw that's screwed into a machine and you want to take that screw out of the machine, and so you put the screwdriver up there and you start turning it one way, and then you realize, well, I'm not sure if I'm tightening or loosening. Well, the thing to do is to try it the other direction and see if that works. And continuing to assume that government is always right is kind of like...
See, the problem is people think that the left versus the right of politics is trying it the other way. You know, right. There were people who never voted, who wouldn't have voted, who went out and voted for Barack Obama because George Bush was so horrible in their mind. They were like, I've got to do something. But voting for the Democrat president instead of the Republican president, warmonger president. They're both warmongers. They both want to control you. George Bush added gun laws. Ronald Reagan added gun laws and raised taxes. I don't know why he's remembered as a progressive, although he was pretty funny. I saw a video of him the other day doing a press conference when he was president. And one of the guys said, the economy is horrible. And think about this. The economy is always horrible because politicians, because government.
Right.
Because government controls it and they don't allow you to have your own economy. You know, one of the reporters asked him, President Reagan, the economy is not doing well. Everyone's blaming someone else. Do you take any personal responsibility for this? And he said, well, yes, I do. Because for many years, I was a Democrat, which is really hilarious, man. And, you know, something most people don't know about Ronald Reagan. He was a Hollywood liberal. He was an actor and he was an entrenched Democrat. And then the Republican Party sent John Wayne, his buddy John Wayne, to come talk to him about running and basically saying, this is the greatest role of a lifetime. We'll write the script. They'll write the script for you. You'll read it. You're a likable guy. You're a recognizable name. And, you know, people like it when you tell stories. It's fun. You know, like that joke, yes, I was a Democrat for many years. It's true, but he was a likable speaker. And that's more important to politics than what you actually do, obviously. But there's no fixing it. There's no, well, we need to get someone who will do what he says and not just talk, but he'll actually walk his walk. And it's like, that is wrong on so many levels. And I don't have the answer. Ben has the answer. I don't have the answer for how to get from point A to point B, from how to get to our increasing government tyranny to a libertarian paradise, point B. But I know that the ways people are trying to do it are not only wrong and won't work, but are counterproductive and will lead to more government. Any talk of a violent revolution, first of all, that talk will get you thrown in prison these days. Second of all, the violent revolution will lead to more government. you know, if it succeeded, right, which it probably won't, if it succeeded, it would lead to, you know, the guys who fought the revolution being power mongers the next day. They're not going to – nobody who aspires to politics is going to not act like a politician. And then working within the system, I mean, let's see what that's gotten you. Okay, you know, 40 years of marijuana advocacy has led to, in some states, you know, when they arrested you in the 60s and beat you up for smoking pot and threw you in a cage and ruined your life, you know, the cops would joke and they'd laugh at you and they'd say, hey, if you don't like it, get involved in the political process. And of course, then if you do get involved in the political process, they don't like you. You know, like the Free State people, you know, the Free State New Hampshire people, they tell, you know, they say, hey, if you don't like our politics, get involved. And then Ian Freeman shows up and tries to talk at the town hall meeting and he's escorted out by the police. They don't really want you involved in the process. But if you do, it's really slow and it's always like 10th measures, you know. If you had cancer in the 60s and were smoking pot because it relieved your, you know, what do you do? Do you just, if your friend has cancer and wants to smoke pot to relieve the pain, the misery, like my daughter when she was dying of cancer, you know, what do? Do you write your congressman? By the time he writes you back, the person will be dead. You know, there's no working within the system. So our thing is just ignoring the system till it goes away and kind of living free as you can in your own life. Now, do you believe it'll actually go away, Ben? And what are some strategies, if any, for this?
I do believe it'll go away. From a financial point of view, from a money point of view, the economics of a state of government are so backwards that eventually it will break itself financially. They always do. On an individual government basis, it will break itself financially. And then whether or not it reforms in, you know, like the U.S. government becomes another U.S. government, in all likelihood, governments have a tendency to consolidate. So in all likelihood, there's going to be fewer and fewer governments occupying greater portions of the world until they all break themselves financially. And as governments get more desperate financially, they bring more tyranny on their people. And people can only handle so much tyranny, and then they begin to reject it. And so, you know, one of the ways people react is to get involved and try to vote. But more and more people are understanding that that doesn't work. You keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, and that's crazy. So,
you know what's interesting about political stuff in Wyoming, like this postcard I got from this lady who says, I've noticed you're not a registered voter. It's very important that you register and vote for me. They don't say what party they're from. Like, none of the stuff you get in the mail here says what they're from. And it's because they're all Republicans. Like, Democrats don't have a chance here. But Democrats, I think they're trying to trick Democrats into voting for the Republican by not putting the party on here. Mm. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's, you see trickery a lot in government, and that should alone be a red. Yeah, that should be a red flag that they have to lie to get you to believe what they want you to do.
They have to lie. I mean, it's already mandatory that you participate in government, and on top of that, they have to lie. You know, it's mandatory that you participate, even if you don't vote. You participate by paying taxes, by having laws where they can take your house if you're, you know, the grass in your backyard is 4 inches too high, or, you know, the muffler. If you have a, what is it, Boston Tea Party said, if you don't have a muffler on your car, or you do on your gun, yeah.
And, you know, the very idea that they have to lie and they have to use violence to collect their money should be enough on its own to prove to a person this thing wouldn't exist without bad, you know, tactics, without thieving and without lying. They wouldn't exist. So they're probably not good. So then why do we believe that? Well, but the only people who can protect us are these bad guys. Well, it's a silly premise to begin with. A principled approach to that says, no, if doing bad cannot result in good, you have to do good to get good. So like the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
That's basically the non-aggression principle is an absolute form of the golden rule. You know, the golden rule is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And a lot of people who believe that and maybe even practice it in their personal life, which not all people who believe in it do, You know, they may actually practice it with their family and their friends and their neighbors. Usually still don't practice it because they do things like vote and support the increasement of the police state and say, yes, we need the war on drugs, but don't take my guns, not realizing that the war on drugs doesn't help anybody, does far more harm than guns, and allows the cops to search you and kick in your door pretty much anytime they want. And the war on drugs leads to the war on guns. And that is just a tiny, tiny example of the tyranny that is at everyone's doorstep these days because people co-sign government. You know, the simplest thing anybody can do to stop the march of tyranny, it's not vote, it's not protest, it's not organize a militia. It's basically just stopping believing in it. Like, make fun of it in your own mind. That's a place to start. If you just eternally, and you know what another thing is too? Try to brainwash yourself out of the brainwashing of saying we when you talk about government. Like, don't say, we had to drop the bomb in World War II. Like, I wasn't even alive. I would have been against it. It didn't end the war. Japan was ready to surrender. And if it happened today, there's no we, man. It's not
me. We didn't
do it. I didn't do it. Yeah, so the first step towards getting rid of the tyranny is helping your brain think right. And the Freedom Fiends. Keep listening to Freedom Fiends.
With Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Yeah, this is Michael Dean. Back early. Something misfired. I like pointing that out because this is live radio. And they say you should never point out your mistakes on live radio, but we like to point out all of them because we are a teaching hospital. But we're not talking about radio here. We're talking about things like government and why society's doing it wrong by thinking they even need any. And why if you're a small government person, you should be even more small government to the point where you think government should be so small that it drowns itself in the bathtub out of depression because nobody loves it. And we have put this forth as a strategy of not loving government and just laughing at it and making fun of it and saying bad things about it and pointing out what's wrong with it to anyone who will listen and especially to those who don't want to listen. So, Ben, I'm going to throw to you. Catch.
Yeah, we're talking about a principled, the potential for a principled society that lives voluntarily without forcing itself upon other people. Really, that's the way most society used to function until the last 100 years when governments have just grown and become bloated and
thanks,
just taken
Teddy
over so much.
Thanks, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, he was one of the main ones pushing it. So the human condition normally, left alone, goes into a situation of voluntarism. You know, I live in campgrounds. My wife and I travel all around the country in our RV, and we go from campground to campground. And generally, within each of these campgrounds is a voluntary society of people who interact with each other. We don't force each other. You know, there's no guns forcing each other to do this or that. And that's the natural way that humans were made to exist. And we do exist that way any time that you take government out of the blend. And that system, it's essentially what, like, every church is there voluntarily. People don't go and force people to go to church, or if they've tried, in the long run, it doesn't work. Because voluntarism is the natural way to do things. It's the way we were designed to function. It's the way Jesus said society should be put together. And that alone should be good enough for most Christians to believe. But they don't. So many Christians want the government here to try to force rules upon everybody. Well, that's Jesus' way.
That's really square, too.
And we believe, as not just as libertarians, not just as anarchists, not just as freedom fiends, we believe that a good principle is rewarded by itself, the principle itself will reward that behavior. And this non-aggression principle that we're talking about will reward. Whereas the principle that two wrongs can somehow make a right will always produce bad. And that's what government is based on. Government is based on, if we force you to behave, you'll behave. No, people don't act that way. People either behave correctly or they don't. And the force and the aggression doesn't have an effect on it one way or the other than to train younger people that the way you get what you want is through aggression. That's the example of government. You get what you want by forcing other people. And if you think that's a good principle, then you should think government is good. And if you think government is good, you should think, well, there should be more government. So in that sense, the liberals and the progressives are more consistent in their thinking than our conservatives. But if you understand that to force someone to accept your type of behavior, if you understand that that in the long run doesn't change the person's heart, doesn't change their real behavior, if you understand that a person has to be good because they choose to be good, if you understand that principle of doing good to others and of expecting others to do good to you, it's not naive. It's the way humans function in a natural setting. And we can do that. We can do that without government. And eventually we will, because eventually government will kill itself off. And when that time comes, and it will come at some point in time, when that time comes, we're the ones that are going to have the answer. Whoever the existing freedom fiends in that day are the ones that will have the answer. And the answer is voluntary. It's all voluntary. It's behaving in a way to your neighbor that the same way you want the neighbor to treat you. It's not aggressing on other people. It's defending yourself, being prepared to defend yourself, being prepared to defend your property. And that's something else the government hates. The government wants you dependent upon the government. We want you dependent upon yourself in every way possible. Peace comes from this. Peace is the result of you leaving your neighbor alone and your neighbor leaving you alone.
That was beautiful, Ben. Words to live by, and totally possible if government would get out of the way, which it's going to do because it expands until nothing else remains and it collapses. It's like one of these red giant dwarf star life cycles of implosion by hubris.
And it's not a fantasy. It's not a utopia.
No, man.
It's what we were meant to live.
I think libertarian paradise would be a bit noisier than my neighborhood is now in general.
Yeah.
But I would be fine with it. I'd deal with it in my windowless bunker where I can't hear anything. All right,
it's good,
Ben,
to be on the radio with you, Michael.
It's good to have you on the radio, man. Looking forward to having you back soon. And this show will be back in 10 hours tonight with Derek J. and Randy.